from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, My Indonesia, and news in brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo promises to provide funds for village operation. Vice President Yusuf Kalla meets Vice President of European Union Commission discussing CEFA. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has promised to provide funds for village operation starting from 2019 budget year, amounting to some 5% of the village funds. As quoted by Antara News Agency while opening the National Work Meeting on Appropriate Technology on Friday, President Joko Widodo said that he needs to provide village operational funds to be used by all village heads across Indonesia. The government is currently drafting a revised government regulation number 22/2015 on village funds to include budgetary elements for village operational funds. The president will revise his regulation and will just count if it gets 5% or can be 4%. In addition to promising village operational funds, President Joko Widodo said that the government would allocate budgets to urban village offices. Vice President Yusuf Kalla held a meeting with First Vice President of European Union Commission, Frans Timmermans, at the Berlaymont building in Brussels, Belgium, discussing economic cooperation between Indonesia and European Union. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Vice President Yusuf Kalla on Tuesday night, after attending the opening of the 12th summit meeting of Asia-Europe meeting ASEAN in Brussels, said that Indonesia and European Union discuss economic relations, the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement CEPA, and other trade issues including palm oil trade and other related issues. He met Timmermans and talked with European Union leader for 30 minutes. He also explained that Indonesia needs Europe and so does Europe. Under the present situation with the global economic uncertainty, Asia and Europe must cooperate well. International Dragon Boat Race re-enlivened the city of Tanjung Pinang, Riau Island. The event that includes in the annual agenda of Riau Island provincial government has entered the 17th year. Met after the opening ceremony on Friday in Tanjung Pinang, Riau Island, head of Tanjung Pinang Tourism Agency, Raja Kolidin, said that the International Dragon Boat Race brings about a remarkable impact on Tanjung Pinang economy.
Kegiatan Dragon Boat Race ini adalah kegiatan yang sudah lama.
The Dragon Boat Race activity has been held for 17 years. This is one of the boats to re-elevate China's culture, that the Dragon Boat is unique and loved by our people. That's why we make it as an event which also becomes tools to promote our region. So foreign tourists want to visit Tanjung Pinang. This activity is held because of our college, from the Ministry of Tourism and Provincial and City Government also supports us. The event is part of Tanjung Pinang Tourism Annual Agenda, so every year we hold this because the impact is remarkable on this event, as we can see now. Previously, Tanjung Pinang was very quiet, but now is busy. At least the people crowd the event once a year. Raja Khalidin added that this event can fulfill the targeted number of 50,000 foreign tourists by the Tourism Minister for Tanjung Pinang. Held since October 19th until 21st, 2018, International Dragon Boat Race is participated by 44 teams. 10 of them are from other countries. Malaysia becomes the biggest participant in the event by delivering 7 teams, while Brunei Darussalam with 2 teams and Singapore 1 team. Meanwhile, there are 10 teams from the other region that join in this race, such as Jakarta with 2 teams, Rio Province 3 teams, and Jambi with 5 teams. Meanwhile, the remaining is the local people with 24 teams. Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, under United Nations, believes that it is not the era of for young generation, particularly Indonesian young generation, to get rid of agriculture. This was stated by Permanent Representative of FAO to Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Stephen Rutkert, as when interviewed by RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently. He explained that Indonesian young generation must love not only agriculture but also rice production, which is focused on Java Island. This must be considered to move to other islands such as Kalimantan.
This is a normal trend. That last point is a normal trend. The younger generation are leaving agriculture, they're moving to the cities, they're no longer living in rural areas. This is a trend common in most developed countries, and Indonesia is going through that phase of urbanization. You say that there's no land in Indonesia. The problem I think you're referring to more is that there's rice production to building. So particularly in Java, land areas being taken over. And I think what we have to look here, in fact, you're Minister of Kemenko Economy, Nasution, was saying today during the World Food Day ceremony, and maybe move the rice production out to further islands here in Kalimantan. There are really important initiatives under the government's policy to try and increase rice production, take that rice production out of Java.
Furthermore, Stephen also explained that young generation has become a key factor in developing agriculture, which is started by making paddy field or small garden and stay in the villages, and they do not move to cities. He also said that it is done as a symbol of investment because it will enhance agriculture fields and avoid corruption. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Deputy Chairman of the People's Consulta Assembly PR Hidayat Nur Wahid attended the 43rd Supreme Assembly of the Islamic League in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. In a press release received by Antar News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, it was reported that the meeting was attended by member country of Islamic World League from various countries. The session, it was led by the Mufti of Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Dr. Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Al Saik, and Secretary General of Islamic World League, Dr. Muhammad bin Abdul Karim Al Isha, discussed various problems in the contemporary Islamic world. The Islamic World League is considered to have made a maximum effort to provide solution to the problem of Muslims in various countries. This session was also attended by the High Priest of the Grand Mosque and the Prophet Mosque, Sheikh Dr. Abdurrahman bin Abdul Aziz Al Sudais, and a number of other important figures and Islamic scholars of the world. Minister of Social Affairs Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said on Friday that electricity in Central Sulawesi has been normal post earthquake, tsunami, and liquefaction disasters. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Agus remarked that the restoration of power supply has been very fast. It is already 100% restored. Efforts to restore power in the region started 3 days after the disaster, marked by the quick movement of the team to ensure people to not suffer from the darkness for a long time. He also pointed out the fuel supply to the region had also been normal. In addition, he further said that telecommunication has also been smooth, as people no longer have difficulty contacting relatives or friends from in or inside the region. Sanitation improvement programs are now on top priority for both government and public in a bid to bring about changes in the lifestyle of people and their environment. Indonesia is one of the several countries still facing sanitation problems, as most of its population, particularly in rural areas, continues to follow an unhealthy lifestyle practice on open defecation. Most community members in several regions across the country continue to live without proper sanitation facilities, for which they are compelled to practice open defecation. Hence, the government will continue to optimize various funding sources to support the achievement of sustainable sanitation development at the national and global levels. To increase the commitment of sanitation development at the regional level, the government of Indonesia is cooperating with all stakeholders to implement sustainable sanitation services by optimizing various funding sources. As quoted by Thai News Agency, Minister of National Development Planning, Bappenas Bambang Brojonegoro, has said recently that this body is carried out in order to achieve 100% universal access to sanitation by 2019, as targeted in the 2015-2019 National Medium-Term Development Plan and Sustainable Development Goal, SDGs. The last item, the government of Indonesia through Minister of Women's Empowerment Child Protection shares the experience to fight against trafficking in person at the Conference of Parties to United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime in Vienna, Austria. This was stated by Deputy for Women's Rights Protection at the Minister of Women's Empowerment Child Protection, Venetia Danes, through a press release received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday. Before the participants of the conference, Venetia Danes affirmed that Indonesia views the issue of human trafficking as very important and places it on the national priority agenda. This problem must be addressed comprehensively through prevention, protection, and prosecution. In the field of prevention, the Indonesian government has formed a task force for prevention and handling of trafficking in person in 32 provinces and 192 districts and cities. In addition, the Indonesian government has also prepared a monitoring mechanism to oversee recruitment and training agencies as well as rehabilitation centers. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service with news from across the country that presents interesting information from around Indonesia within a week. News came from South Tapanuli, North Sumatra. The developer of the Batang Toru Hydroelectric Power Plant, PT North Sumatra Hydro Energy or NSHE, along with the local government and community leaders, planted various local trees on Monday, October the 8th. The action was meant to enrich multifunctional plants in the Batang Toru Wildlife Corridor in Bulumaru Village, Sipirok District, South Tapanuli Regency, North Sumatra. It complements the company collaboration in a memorandum of understanding with the University of North Sumatra and the South Tapanuli Regency government to maintain the sustainability of Batang Toru region. This effort is part of the implementation of Presidential Regulation No. 4 of 2016 concerning the acceleration of electricity infrastructure development, which mandates all parties, including a local government, to participate in realizing it. The next news came from Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta Special Region. The government of Kulon Progo Regency, Yogyakarta Special Region, had a performance of art and culture that developed on the border of Kulon Progo with various regions including Yogyakarta Special Region, Central Jawa and East Jawa provinces. The show, called Border Art Show, lasted 3 days from October the 17th to 19th. The Border Art Parade is one of a series of Menoreh art festivals to celebrate the 67th anniversary of Kulon Progo. Hundreds of performers from various regions took part on the Border Art Show, such as Bantul, Gunung Kidul, and Sleman. Then there are from Jember, Magelang, Banyuwangi, Banyumas, and Purworejo. The actions of the artists show a strong identity for each region, although they have some resemblance to the surrounding area. The Secretary of the Kulon Progo Cultural Service, Joko Mursito, said the government continued to strengthen the arts and culture that were on the border of Kulon Progo as an effort to strengthen the identity of the local community. identity is important as a differentiator from neighboring regions, arousing the pride and love of citizens in their area. Joko Mursito said this kind of performances is not only a place to strengthen culture, but also at the same time become a forum for hospitality and promotion of tourism. The next news also came from Yogyakarta. In order to instill national character values for students through art and culture, the Directorate General of Learning and Student Affairs of the Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education held a National Student Art Week from October the 15th to 21st at the Indonesian Art Institute in Yogyakarta. The opening ceremony, held in the Pancasila Field of Gajah Mada University, was attended by Director of Student Affairs Didin Wahidin, Yogyakarta Indonesia Art Institute Rector Burhan, Gajah Mada University Rector Panut Mulyono, and the Yogyakarta Student Art Development Agency. In Yogyakarta Special Region, the Director of Student Affairs in his speech said that in participating in this competition, students not only get prizes out as winners, but there are many other things students can get. The National Student Art Week is held every 2 years, and in 2018 is the 14th, with the participants coming from the best students who qualify for the event. Well, that was news from across the country over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. The first information is about the inauguration of the Sydney Opera House by Queen Elizabeth II on October the 20th, 1973. The Sydney Opera House in New South Wales, Australia, is one of the most iconic and popular buildings in the 20th century. The building is located in the Bennelong Point of the Sydney Harbour near the Sydney Bridge. The scenery of these two buildings becomes a special icon for Australia. For millions of tourists visiting the attraction, the building captivates them with its shell-like shape. Besides being a tourism object, the building is often used to host various shows, such as theater, ballet, and many more. It was also designed by Jørgen Utzon from Denmark in 1955, who won a design competition. The Sydney Opera House has been also listed as the UNESCO World Heritage since 2007. The next information is about the inauguration of Abdurrahman Wahid as the fourth Indonesian president. Kiai Haji Abdurrahman Wahid, or better known as Gus Dur, was an Indonesian Muslim figure and a political leader, becoming Indonesian president from 1999 up to 2001. He succeeded President B.J. Habibie after being appointed by the People's Consultative Assembly of the Republic of Indonesia according to the result of the 1999 elections. Abdurrahman Wahid's leadership was assisted by the National Unity Cabinet on October the 20th, 2000, and it ended in 2001 and was marked with the special session of the People's Consultative Assembly. Right on July the 23rd, 2001, Gus Dur's mandate was withdrawn by the People's Consultative Assembly, and his position was replaced by Megawati Soekarnoputri. The last information is about the inauguration of Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono as the fifth Indonesian president. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, or SBY, was the president of Indonesia serving since October the 20th, 2004. Along with Vice President Yusuf Kalla, they were elected in the 2004 presidential elections. SBY successfully continued his leadership by winning the 2009 presidential elections with Vice President Budiono. Since the reform era, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono was the only Indonesian president that completed his presidency for 5 years and won the second period again. Before serving as a president, he was appointed as Minister of Mining and Energy in 1999 and one of the founders of the Democratic Party. His last military rank before retiring on October the 25th, 2000, was General of the Indonesian National Military. That was today in history.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on FAO supports swampland optimization to increase food production. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Agency supports the optimization of swamps to increase national food production. FAO representative in Indonesia, Stephen Rutgert, conveyed it in his release at the opening of World Food Day in Jejangkit Village, Barito, Kuala District, South Kalimantan on Thursday, October 18. Stephen Rutgert said the Indonesian government's focus on optimizing land swamp tides and fresh water towards Indonesia to become a barn world food in 2045, as stated in the World Food Day 2018 commemoration, was a big step with various challenges faced. The FAO noted the Indonesian government estimates there are about 34 million hectares of swamps in Indonesia, and 9 million more than the total area has potential for agricultural production. Like in Jejangkit District, there are more than 3,000 hectares cultivated under the new program. According to Stephen Rutgert, he sees the government leadership in this matter and very pleased that the Ministry of Agriculture promoted the adoption of good agricultural practices related to the application of the FAO model. He also appreciated the efforts to intensify sustainable food production, including reducing the use of pesticides through integrated pest control. He also stressed that increasing productivity is very important to feed a growing population, but more importantly, to have a sustainable agricultural approach in a variety of agricultural intervention. Indonesian government must continue to increase rice production as an effort to ensure food security. Globally, food production must be doubled by 2050 to ensure adequate food availability and feed a population of more than 9 million. At the time, according to Rutgert, Indonesia's population would reach 300 million with increasing urbanization and changes in consumer demand. These things would put great pressure on the food system in Indonesia. The commemoration of the 38th World Food Day in the village of Jejangkit Muara, Jejangkit District, Barito, Kuala, South Kalimantan Province, took place in the middle of a swamp rice field. It was also attended by special guests from various regions throughout the archipelago and 22 representatives of diplomats and embassies from friendly countries. The Indonesian government was represented by the Minister of Agriculture, Andi Amran Sulaiman. That was My Indonesia Today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has promised to provide funds for village operations starting from 2019 budget year amounting to some 5% of the village funds. Vice President Yusuf Kalla held a meeting with First Vice President of the European Union Commission, Frans Timmermans, at the Belmont Building in Brussels, Belgium, discussing economic cooperation between Indonesia and European Union. International Dragon Boat Race re-enlivened the city of Tanjung Pinang, Rio Island. The event that includes in the annual agenda of Rio Island provincial government has entered the 17th year. Met after the opening ceremony on Friday in Tanjung Pinang, Rio Island, head of Tanjung Pinang Tourism Agency, Raja Kholidin, said that the International Dragon Boat Race brings about a remarkable impact on Tanjung Pinang economy. Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, under United Nations, believes that it is not the era for young generation, particularly Indonesian young generation, to get rid of agriculture. This was stated by Permanent Representative of FAO to Indonesia and Timor Leste, Stephen Rugert, has been interviewed by Rural Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently. Deputy Chairman of the People's Consulta Assembly, Pierre Hidayat Nur Wahid, attended the 43rd Supreme Assembly of the Islamic League in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. In a press release received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, it was reported that the meeting was attended by member country of Islamic World League from various countries. Minister of Social Affairs Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said on Friday that electricity in central Sulawesi has been normal post earthquake, tsunami and liquefaction disasters. Sanitation improvement programs are now on top priority for both the government and public in a bid to bring about changes in the lifestyle of people and their environment. Indonesia is one of the several countries still facing sanitation problems as most of its population, particularly in rural areas, continues to follow an unhealthy lifestyle practice or open defecation. The government of Indonesia, through Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, said it expected to fight against trafficking in person at the conference of parties to the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime in Vienna, Austria. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you Paul Beach. Stay tuned. Listener, Paul Beach is located in North Minahasa Regency, East Likupang District, Marinso Village, North Sulawesi. This tourism object was officially opened for public by Government of Marinso Village on February 9, 2015. The opening of the beach is hoped to be able to increase local people's income. The beach is called Paul because the beach has Paul or monument, which is territorial border. The Paul is at the border between Marinso and Pulisan, and another one at the border between Marinso and Kalinaung village at the coastline. To go to Paul Beach can be accessed from Air Madidi, North Minahasa Regency, by motor vehicles for around 1.5 hours. While the cost to enter the beach is 5,000 rupiah for motorcycles and 10,000 rupiah for cars, and bus is 25,000 rupiah. Listener, to go to Paul Beach, which can be said as twin of Kuta Beach in Bali, is not difficult. because its location is at the road of Likupang Bitung. Besides, the local people will be pleased to guide every visitor who asks the locations of the beach. If you depart from Bitung to Paul Beach, which has a distance 35 kilometers, you spend your time for 50 minutes. Arriving at Marinso Village, where Paul Beach exists, you will see big direction board to the beach. Before arriving at the beach, you will see post to pay entrance ticket for vehicles. From the post, you can smell seawater that signs you have arrived at the beach. Listener, after walking around 50 meters from parking space, you can witness the beauty of Paul Beach. The beach stretches around 500 meters from the north to the south. Overlay of the sand has white color. Its sea condition at the middle has sand on the bottom, while to the north or to the south, it is rocky or consisting of coral. It makes color of seawater at the middle like blue and a little bit greenish. That's why most visitors prefer at the middle of the sea, although for snorkeling lovers prefer at coral location because they can still see some species of fish at the crack of the corals. Listener, Paul Beach is flat. Along the beach, there are many trees as if becoming strict border between waters and land. It is the beauty of the beach which is often discussed by the visitors. If you do not bring food or beverage, you do not have to worry because there are stalls which sell some food and drink. If you are in Minahasa, North Sulawesi, please set your time to visit Paul Beach. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Paul Beach in Minahasa, North Sulawesi. I'm Putri Sofita Dela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of Edited World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Miscellany. In this edition, I will share information about the 2018 Likurai Dance Festival in Timor, East Nusa Tenggara Province. So stay tuned to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Likurai dance is one of the popular traditional dances in West Timor, especially in Belu. In ancient times, this dance was performed to welcome village heroes who had just returned from war. But today, Likurai dance is often featured in various traditional events, such as welcoming important guests, traditional ceremonies, and cultural festivals. If you want to watch Likurai dance directly, you can visit the 2018 Likurai Dance Festival, which will be held on October 27th until 28th, 2018 in Belu District, East Nusa Tenggara Province. This festival is organized by the local government of East Nusa Tenggara to preserve Likurai culture. This Likurai dance festival can also be said to be colossal because it will be performed by thousands of dancers from Belu Regency, Malacca Regency, and neighboring Timor Leste. Last year, in October 2017, the festival managed to get a Muri record for the largest number of traditional dancers, namely 6,000 dancers. The Likurai Dance Festival will be held on the top of Fulan Fehan Hill, which is located in Dirun Village, Lakmanen District, Belu Regency. In addition to preserving the Likurai culture, this festival is also expected to attract both domestic and foreign tourists. In addition to interesting cultural tourism, visitors to this festival will also be treated to beautiful and exotic scenery. Fulan Fehan, which is the location of this festival, offers a view of the vast expanse of savannas with a backdrop of Lakan Mountain surrounded by rocks and overgrown with wild cactus. That was today's edition of Miscellany featuring the 2018 Likurai Dance Festival in Timor East Nusa Tenggara Province. We will meet again tomorrow in another edition and interesting topic. I'm Putri Safitradela, thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back with me Putri in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you Raisa. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Serba Salah. Stay with us at www.voinews.id or frequency 3325 kHz.
Jalani.
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Serba Salah, sung by Raisa. Her full name is Raisa Andriana, and she began to be famous through her song entitled Serba Salah, which was released in 2011. Although she is newcomer in Indonesian music industry, Raisa is successful to be loved by Indonesian music lovers. The song tells about love story which loses the feeling so that it feels different. Nobody knows who is guilty and nobody understands. Sometimes it happens so that love story must end in order nobody to be hurt again. Serba Salah's song received AMI Awards 2012 as the best newcomer category. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Mantan Terindah.
Putuskan cintaku dan saat ini engkau selalu ingin bertemu dan mengulang jalin cinta. Mau dikatakan apa lagi, kita tak akan pernah satu. Engkau di sana, aku di sini, meski hatiku memilihmu. Andai ku bisa, ingin aku memelukmu lagi. Oh, di hati ini hanya engkau, mantan terindah yang selalu ku rindukan. Mau dikatakan apa lagi, kita tak akan pernah satu.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Raisa. Mantan Terindah of Raisa's song tells about a couple that has been separated but two lovers want to unite again. Sometimes, love is not always easy. Although her heart chooses him, love never reunites. The song is one of 9 songs in Raisa's second album entitled Heart to Heart, which was released the end of 2013. Earlier, Mantan Terindah was sung by Kahitna and created by Yovi Widianto, who is also a personal of Kahitna. The song was resung by Raisa with different musical touching and typical style. Well, listener, that was our segment, Music Corner for today, featuring Raisa. To conclude our segment, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Pemeran Utama and Apalah Arti Menunggu. I'm Putri Safiti Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Telah hilang. rasa cukup ku menunggu. Semua rasa telah hilang. Sekarang aku tersadar, cinta yang ku tunggu tak kunjung datang. Apalah arti aku menunggu bila kamu tak cinta lagi. Dahulu kaulah segalanya.
Jangan pergi lagi. dan lihatlah saya, hujan turun membasahi seolah ku berair mata.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.